Welcome to today's first quarter 2020 JinkoSolar earnings conference call. Please note that all participants will be in listen-only mode for the first part of this call, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Now I'm pleased to present Ms. Ripple Zhang. Ms. Zhang, please begin.
Thank you, operator. Thank everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2020 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jenner Miao, Chief Marketing Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢李波，各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Ripple. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
一季度公司组件出货量3419.7个小时标，均符合经营预期和业绩指引。因为新冠疫情的影响，一季度光伏产业链受到了来自原材料供应、客物流运输等诸多挑战。凭借高效的协调和管理能力，我们仍然顺利实现了一季度出货量的历史新高。因为中国的疫情得到了很好的控制，国内工厂已经在三月全面恢复正常运营。Total
shipment of solar modules during the first quarter was 3,411 megawatt. Excluding the impact of the disposal of overseas solar power plants, this quarter generated total revenues of $1.03 billion and a gross margin of 19.7%, all within our guidance range for the quarter. The COVID-19 pandemic impacted the solar industry, creating numerous challenges from difficulties obtaining supplies of raw materials to logistic and transportation disruptions. Despite all these challenges, we are still successfully achieving the highest historical shipments in the first quarter, which we believe demonstrate our strong ability to execute and cooperate, flexibility to carefully navigate and adapt to a difficult global economic environment. Thanks to containment efforts across the country, all our factories in China have reached full production in March.
二季度，海外需求成为主要的挑战。疫情导致大多数国家出现不同程度的物流滞后和项目推迟。我们的马来西亚工厂迅速采取措施，保障员工的安全和健康，并遵守当地政府的防疫管理，有效地应对使我们的生产在四月底已恢复正常。我们同时将健康和安全管理的措施复制到了美国工厂，有效地保障了生产的正常运营。面对全球需求的明显下滑和近期的原材料价格下跌，我们不断地协调生产、物流和销售，在积极获取新订单的同时，严格控制库存。过去的几个月，我们始终没有放松对员工安全的保护。都是从中国向美国和马来西亚工厂运送防疫物资。希望在这个特殊的时期，与所有员工、客户、供应商以及其他合作伙伴 共度难关。
The major challenge so far during the second quarter has been overseas demand. The pandemic has impacted logistics to varying degrees and caused project delays in most overseas markets. In Malaysia, we immediately implemented measures to ensure the health and safety of our employees while at the same time complying with government containment measures. This rapid response has brought our production back to normal safely by the end of April. We replicated these health and safety measures for our employees in the U.S. and were able to keep production running smoothly throughout the pandemic. With the global demand falling significantly and the price of raw materials declining as a result of the pandemic, we focused our attention on coordinating production, logistics, and sales to ensure we could fulfill new orders while carefully controlling inventory levels. Shipments of epidemic prevention materials continue to be made from China to our Malaysia and the U.S. facilities. We have been doing all we can to care for our employees, clients, suppliers, and other business partners during this challenging time.
近日，中国工信部就光伏制造行业规范条件公开征求意见，计划将光伏新建产能的门槛提升，以促进新技术的应用，同时将现有产能指标要求强化，以促进产业整合和加速落后产能出清。政策在加速推动新技术的产业化应用，利好龙头企业做大做强。另外，支撑光伏长期发展的特高压建设和消纳空间扩容的政策也在近期出台。我们认为，疫情后，各个国家都会更加关注能源本地化和能源安全问题。由于光伏在新能源中的竞争力持续增强，叠加疫情期间产业链价格下跌带来的全球范围内的加速平价，预计不少国家都会出台光伏振兴的计划，利好光伏新能源在后疫情时代的长期渗透力。今年供应的相对过剩，使得落后产能加速推出市场，能够降低终端度电成本的应用加速推广，不具竞争力的企业相继退出市场，一线企业的市场份额集中度从而进一步提升。我们预计，相较原来的市场预期，今年全球的装机需求受疫情影响下会下降约25%。我们全年的签单和目前的订单执行情况都保持良好，并维持全年的出货量指引不变。
Recently, China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology began seeking public opinion for its draft standard conditions of the PV manufacturing industry. The draft consultation will be used to raise the standards for new built production facilities in order to promote the application of new clean technologies. Under these new standards, all existing production facilities will be required to implementindustrial integration and accelerate the replacement of outdated equipment and infrastructure. This will help accelerate the industrial application of new technologies and will benefit and strengthen leading manufacturers as they expand to scale. In addition, policies governing the construction of ultra-high voltage projects and grid absorption capacities expansion will support the long-term development of the industry. We believe governments around the world will increasingly round their focus to energy security and localization, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. Due to the continued enhancement of the competitiveness of solar energy over traditional energy,and the acceleration of global parity caused by the fall in the price of the industrial chain during the epidemic, which will result in more countries implementing policies to support solar energy and will drive its deeper penetration in the post-pandemic era. In 2020, excess supply in the market will rapidly drive outdated production capacity out of the market and accelerate application of technologies that will better reduce levelized cost of energy. Smaller manufacturers will find it harder to compete and will exit the market, which will create an opportunity for larger global players to expand the market share. we expect global installation to fall by around 25% compared to estimation at the beginning of the year due to impact the coronavirus pandemic is having. Our order book for the year remains strong and shipments rolling out, allowing us to reaffirm our guidance on total solar module shipments for the full year 2020.
面对疫情，公司花了更多的精力做内部生产管理方面的调整和外部的沟通协调，从而进一步完善了危机应对管理，提升了信息共享的效率。随着落后产能的迅速出清和高效产品的加速推广，行业组件产品快于预期地迈向了500瓦时代，更高功率和更大尺寸的终端产品不仅对硅片环节的品质和电池环节的工艺设置了更高的门槛，也对企业从研发到量产的产业链整合能力提出了更高的要求。研发对增强我们的竞争力至关重要，我们将继续凭借专业优质的研发团队、行业领先的科研平台和完善高效的产品开发体系，去持续更新能为客户带来最佳收益的产品，并充分发挥前沿产品快速量产的优势，从而引领行业的发展。
Faced with the COVID-19 pandemic, we made adjustments to our internal production and management process and facilitated the greater flow of information across our external network, which further improved the efficiency of our crisis management response and information sharing. As outdated capacity is removed from the market and with the accelerated adoption of high-efficiency premium products by downstream partners, standards for PV modules and components were entered the 500-watt ultra-high-efficiency era earlier than expected. These ultra-high-efficiency products also set higher standards for wafer quality and cell technology that are being replicated across supply chains, all the way from R&D to the mass production of modules. Technology remains central to strengthening our competitive edge in the market. We will continue to lead the industry in offering innovative products that will generate solid returns on investment for our clients by leveraging our high-skilled R&D team, industry-leading research platform, and ability to rapidly mass-produce newly developed cutting-edge products.
近期我们发布了最高功率可达580瓦的新产品 Tiger Pro， 振奋人心的高效率高功率产品引领新一代行业标准，助力全球平价上网更广泛的应用。疫情加速了行业的技术革新，龙头企业的产品竞争力得以深刻体现。同时，作为全球最大的组件供应商，我们产品的开发和迭代会充分考虑项目开发商、工程承包商、设计院甚至下游的供应商，这使得我们的在以市场为导向有效地提升产品竞争力的同时，也有利于规避技术风险。总之，疫情对行业整体不可避免地带来了一些负面影响，但我们依然对疫情后公司的持续发展和市场力的进一步提升充满期待。
Recently, we launched a new Tiger Pro series module with maximum power output of 580 watts. This breakthrough will set new industry standards for power generation and efficiency and will support a wider array of installation scenarios as the globe accelerates towards grid parity. The pandemic is in effect raising technical standards for the industry. The competitiveness of leading players' products will drive further innovation in clean energy technology. As one of the world's largest solar module manufacturers, we are developing and are adapting our products for project developers, engineering contractors, and design institutes, as well as downstream suppliers. Their feedback has been keen to assessing and mitigating technical risks when building our market-oriented products, which strengthens our competitive positioning. In short, the pandemic has adversely impacted the industry, but we are still on track to continue generating growth and expand our market share.
产能方面，我们的单晶硅片产能已于今年4月份达到18G瓦，电子产能截至一季度末10.6G瓦， 其中包括目前市场上转换效率最高的800兆瓦超高效 N 型电池产能，组件产能截至一季度末16吉瓦，另外有大约9吉瓦的高效组件新产能在二季度陆续投产。今年我们会在产能的成本和管理等方面持续地做精益化的提升。
On capacity side, our in-house mono wafer production capacity reached 18 gigawatts in April. Cell capacity reached 10.6 gigawatts by the end of the first quarter, including 800 megawatts of ultra-high efficiency N-type cells that have the highest conversion efficiency currently on the market. On the module side, module capacity was 16 gigawatts by the end of the first quarter, with an additional 9 gigawatts of the new high efficiency capacity expected to gradually be put into production in the second quarter. We will continue to make further refinements to managing cost and efficiency in 2020.
话题交给 Janet 之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，2020年第二季度，公司的组件出货量在 4.2 到 4.5 吉瓦之间，营业收入在11美金到 11.8 美金之间，毛利率在 16% 到 18% 之间。2020年全年组件出货量的预期不变，在18到20吉瓦之间。
Before turning over to Jenner, I will introduce our guidance. Based on our current estimates for the second quarter 2020, total solar module shipments will be in the range of 4.2 to 4.5 gigawatts. Total revenues will be in the range of 1.1 billion to 1.18 billion US dollars.And gross margin will be in the range of 16 to 18%. We maintain our guidance on the total solar module shipments for the full year 2020 to be between 8 to 20 gigawatts.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. The total shipment of solar modules reached 3,411 megawatts, a historical high in Q1 despite the challenges COVID-19 created for our sales and production.Over the past few months, we have been carefully monitoring industrial developments, real-time market trends, and first-hand client feedback, which provided us with a detailed understanding of how the pandemic is impacting our clients and allow us to offer better support. At the same time, we launched the emergency response mechanism developed from our experience facing previous challenging and unpredictable market turbulence.Which provided us with a flexible and a pragmatic tool to navigate during the crisis. The impact of the pandemic is expected to shrink global market demand by approximately 25% in 2020 to 110 to 120 gigawatts. Nevertheless, our high-quality products remain in strong demandand reaffirm our guidance of annual shipments in the range of 18 to 20 gigawatts. With our order book for the year growing and shipments rolling out, we continue to drive growth. The China market was oversupplied in Q1. Some of the delayed projects from 2019 are now under pressure to complete installation before the June 2030 deadline.Which is helping to stabilize module prices lately. New bidding rounds for utility plants in 2020 are expected to start construction in the third quarter, reaching peak installation in Q4. In 2020, grid capacity for solar power connection will reach 48.45 gigawatts. Ultra-high voltage projects are being extensively promoted by the government as a strategic important source of energy integration and power transmission from China's west to the coastal regions over the long run. According to the latest policy from China's NDRC, each province is required to set the lowest non-hydro renewable generation ratio ranging from 5% to 25%. In addition,Reforming policies in electricity trading and distributed power trading plans will also improve solar power utilization efficiency, accelerating the diversification of China's energy mix. The distribution market in the U.S. has slowed during the pandemic shutdown in March, while the construction of large-scale power plants still continued as planned. Given the situation, the U.S. Department of Treasury announced that ITC for renewable investment would receive a one-year extension. Just a few weeks ago, government of Virginia signed a bill requiring the state to achieve 100% carbon-free power by 2045. A number of large-scale renewable energy projects continue to be adequately funded from global financial institutions despite energy markets facing unpredictable turmoil. Many European countries have begun easing travel restrictions since May. Economies there are bouncing back and businesses are getting active again. Portugal awarded a 1.15 gigawatt solar auction in 2019. In early 2020, Portugal announced another solar auction for 700 to 800 megawatt to be carried out within the year. The Netherlands launched a 10-year net metering program to support residential solar and lower annual electricity costs by 9% from 2023 to 2030. According to the regulator, homeowners who are willing to install PV systems will benefit from a reasonable investment return. Germany also lifted the 52 gigawatt cap for subsidies of small-scale solar projects. The market is expected to recover strongly in 2021. The economic stimulus package, which includes renewable energy, will soon be having a significant positive effect across the whole Europe. Turning to Asia, the lockdown in India since March 24th, travel restrictions have greatly impacted the flow of personnel and materials. The extension of the lockdown prolonged these restrictions, which have further impacted public transportation, project suspension, bidding, and power plant operations. Recently, customs, banks, and other institutions began gradually returning to work. Several large utility companies, such as SECI and NTPC, have extended the bidding deadline for PV power generation projects. In April 2020, SECI extended the bidding deadline for solar projects and wind solar hybrid projects totaling 8.7 gigawatts. In Vietnam, the lockdown has been lifted, which resulted in PV projects getting back on track. The Deputy Prime Minister of Vietnam issued a policy in April to encourage the development of solar power projects. According to the Decision 13, new FITs for all three types of solar energy system and projects, namely floating, ground mountain, and rooftop, will be lowered. The pandemic in Japan has gradually eased, and Japanese government terminated the statement of emergency on May 25th. PV installations still continue, but at a much slower pace with completion of large-scale projects delayed into 2021. Markets in Asia, such as Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, have slowly kicked off. The Brazilian market continued to be significantly impacted by the pandemic, which has affected approximately 70% of the installations. The market downturn has forced many small installers and distributors to halt operations, and some large-scale projects to delay until 2021. Middle East and Africa regions began opening up in June. Some businesses are reopening, and construction activities are returning with limited labor mobility. In conclusion, we are confident in long-term growth prospects of the PV industry, despite all the short-term challenges. Going forward, Jinko Solar will continue to adapt our products and services to the needs of customers who are increasingly demanding high-quality products, stable supply, and a strong brand recognition. The pandemic will accelerate the removal of outdated capacity and leave only the strongest standing. We were recently recognized as a top performer of the sixth consecutive year in the PVEL DNV PV Module Reliability Scorecard, and was one of the only two global manufacturers to have been recognized as a top performer every year since 2014. Being recognized as a top performer once again reflects our dedication and commitment to the research and the development of high-quality PV products. Speaking overall, the absolute capacity in solar industry is inevitable, but high-efficiency PV products remain short in supply. Competitive products underpin the marketing added value and overall sustainable development. As a leading market player, Jinko Solar has always been customer-oriented, focusing on optimizing power plant's design and reducing LCOE. Recently, we launched our latest Tiger Pro series, reaching a maximum power output of 580 watt-peak. It took place while online live streaming with approximately 200,000 people from all over the world participating in the event. Not only did the Tiger Pro series gain significant exposure from this, it also acted as a milestone for the PV industry. As the industry turns a page, we will strengthen our position as the supplier of choice with the lowest LCOE, strongest system compatibilities, and overall economic value. With that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, General. Results in the first quarter were in line with our guidance. Key financial indicators, including total revenue, gross margin, and net income, have increased significantly year over year. This is due to the continued increase in the integration production level. By the end of March, we closed the sale of the two solar power plants with a combined capacity of 155 megawatts in Mexico, which reduced the total debts by about $421 million. Mono wafer capacity reached to 18 gigawatts in April, which will support our expected total shipments of 18 to 20 gigawatts for the full year. Going into the details, excluding the sale of the overseas solar power plants, total revenues were $1.03 billion, an increase of 25% from the first quarter of 2019. Gross margin improved to 19.7% compared to 16.6% in Q1 last year. EBITDA was $100 million compared to $49 million in Q1 last year. Non-GAAP net income was $32 million, significantly increased year over year. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of 65 cents. Excluding the sale of overseas solar power plants, total operating expenses accounted for 12.6% of total revenues compared to 11.9% in the fourth quarter of 2019 and 12.5% in the first quarter of 2019. The sequential increase was primarily due to an increase in shipping costs as a percentage of total revenue associated with a higher percentage of shipments to the overseas markets in the first quarter of 2020. Moving to the balance sheet, our balance of cash and cash equivalents were $670 million compared to $895 million at the end of last year. Accounts receivable turnover days were 66 days compared to 94 days in Q1 last year. Inventory turnover days were 110 days compared to 120 days in Q1 last year. Total debt was $1.8 billion compared to $1.9 billion last year, in which $162 million was related to international solar projects. Net debt was $1.1 billion compared to $1 billion at the end of Q4 2019. Total CapEx for 2020 is expected to be around $350 million. which is used for the 5 gigawatt second phase of mono wafer capacity and additional new 9 gigawatt mono module capacity. This concludes our prepared remarks, and we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question to the speaker, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To cancel, please press 02. Our first question is from Philip Shen at Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the questions. The first one is on pricing. You know, we calculate an implied module ASP of about 30 cents per watt in Q1 on a blended basis for you. And I think based on your guidance, the pricing might be closer to 26.2 cents for Q2. So this suggests, you know, maybe a 13% sequential decline. Are we accurate with these numbers? You know, perhaps you can comment on what we might be missing. Specifically, you know, how much in Q1 did you have for module-only revenue, for example?
Yeah, Phil. So it's Jenna. Thanks for the question. For the Q1, the ASPs compared with Q1 and Q2, we are seeing, you know, because of market turbulence and also the pandemic impact, the market price dropped by around, 10%. So if we look into our Q2 pricing, I think we are around that range as well. So compared with the Q1 ASPs, Q2 ASP, we are expected to drop by approximately a high single-digit range.
Okay. And then how do you expect that blended pricing to trend in Q3? Do you expect another drop as well? And then do you see the stability more in Q4? What do you see ahead? Thanks.
Yeah, so for the our strategy is always to follow the market, so we're not against the market. So when we see the market price is dropping, definitely, you know, our pricing will drop. That's our strategy. I think everyone will follow that, not only Jinko. So the number wise is hard to define right now. What's the exact numbers for Q3. It's still too early to talk about the Q3 final pricing. But from the observation of the market price side, we did feel the expectation from all the customer ends that they expect the market price continue to drop compared with Q2. But actually, when we look into the whole year pricing, I still believe there will be some bounce back at late Q3 or even early Q4 because the expected strong demand in China rush by the year end, there will be a kind of a shorter supply by that time.
Okay, thanks, Jenna. From a housekeeping standpoint, can you share what the CapEx and depreciation was in Q1?
Philip, the depreciation, you know, the cost roughly per quarter, roughly $40 million, and the CapEx is roughly $100 million for the first quarter.
Great. Okay, thanks, Charles. And then one bigger picture question. In your prepared remarks, you commented that the draft MIIT policy should drive capacity lower. Can you comment a little bit more on how you expect this policy to work and how do you expect this to impact the industry? I can see marginal capacity expansion going away, but was wondering if you could just comment more on what you see as the impact of this policy and when you expect it to be made official. Thanks.
Bill, you're talking about ITCs, right?
No, I'm talking about the Ministry of Industry policy to force the industry to have higher efficiencies in the capacity expansion.
You mean the China manufacturer, like the industry standards thing, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Phil, I think, you know, this is a, you know, national standard and which is continue to encourage the, you know, latest technology adoption. There's a lot of, you know, threshold, and which is the minimum, you know, threshold. And if the industry participants want to expand the capacity, and I think all in all, I think it's a very positive for the industry consolidations, and particularly, you know, the tier one companies, given their technology advantage and will lead the capacity expansion to meet the, you know, anticipated sustainable growth and in the future. And for the tier two, tier three companies, and it's under pressure, and it's not only from the customer perspective, right? And a lot of, you know, tier one companies is leading the product, and we are promoting over 500 watt, you know, modules. And tier two, tier three companies, and they are under pressure. And from the supply perspective, and the government want to build policies, and which is, you know, it's a positive for the leading companies, but negative for the, you know, the tier two, tier three companies.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Tony Fei at BOCI. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, management. This is Tony from BOCI. I have two questions. First is regarding on the order book front. So among the 4.2 to 4.5 gigawatt shipment target for Q2, could you give us some color regarding how much of that will come from domestic orders and how much from overseas? And how about that mix movement in the second half maybe?
Yeah. So you're talking about a Q2 number, right? So I will assume your question is mainly about the China mix during the Q2 and also the rest of year's shipment plan, right? From my observation, so Q2 number for the shipment mix, China will occupy not a significant number. The number range we are looking at is around, let's say, 10 to 15%. So, however, it will, you know, rapidly going up, especially when the China market start to boom by the second half. We expect the ratio will be higher. Even by the peak time of the Q4, we're expecting the number could be even 30%, even plus. For the total year, our target China market will still taking a pretty let's say a fair ratio compared with all the other regions we are having. So a quarter of our total shipment is expected to ship in China.
Okay, great. And my second question is regarding the financials. So looking at your results in the Q1, actually all the revenue and the gross profit are quite in line with your previous guidance, but the net profit was dragged by the change in fair value of some derivative products. So in the second quarter, actually, we are seeing the RMB is still weaker year on year. So should we expect more kind of losses or fair value change in the quarter? Thank you.
Okay. The change of fair value includes two parts. One part is linked to our international projects and the interest swap, and that is a significant negative impact in first quarter because of the very, you know, low, even close to zero, the U.S. treasury rate. And it's I think it's a one time, and it's you know, the long term, the U.S. Treasury rate is rebounding to the standard level, and for the currency, you know, the currency forward currency to lock our sales orders, and because the RMB is unexpected to be depreciated, and in the first quarter, particularly given the recent tensions, right, between and the U.S. and China, and now it's you know, and the RMB is stabilized and relatively appreciated. So we don't expect, you know, significant impact in the second quarter, and for the you know, the financial instruments, I mentioned the two items, and we don't expect significant impact in the second quarter.
Okay, great. Thanks for cutting. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a friendly reminder, if you'd like to ask a question to the speaker, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. To cancel, please press 02. Our next question is from Brian B. at Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. You know, maybe just to follow up a little bit on an earlier question, just on the gross margins, you know, you're guiding down about 250 basis points at the midpoint for the second quarter versus the first quarter. You know, pricing really started falling in late March and April. So, you know, we've heard from other companies that a lot of that volume could flow through more in 3Q as opposed to, you know, real time in 2Q. So, is it fair to assume gross margin is down again sequentially in 3Q, and then how should we think about the cadence from there?
You know, the decline of gross margin in second quarter reflected the, you know, the slowing, you know, the weak demand, particularly from the international markets and in second quarter. And back to, you know, we discussed that the ASP is in a downward trend, and given the, you know, the market situation, recent market situation, the ASP is continuing in a downward. And but however, you know, you know, from the cost perspective, we are improving at the same time. So given the, you know, the third quarter, I think, you know, the second half year, the gross margin and continue to be under pressure, but we are targeting to, you know, to achieve relatively stable gross margin, and compared to the second quarter, and because particularly from the, you know, and we rapidly expand our capacity on mono wafer, and we are expecting to improve our integrated production costs. And you know, throughout the challenge period, and which will offset the next negative impact of the, you know, the ASP, you know, the downward, and the second half year.
Okay, that's helpful. And then Charlie, just a question around the inventory. I know, you know, in past years, you typically have a pretty big move up in inventories from 4Q to 1Q. It seemed a little bit bigger this year. And at the same time, accounts receivable was pretty flattish. So, you know, if this was just a shipment timing issue, I would have thought they kind of moved together. So are you seeing some cancellations on modules? Are you having to kind of remarket those? Or, you know, can you give us some sense of what's happening between the AR and inventory balances here to start off the year?
You know, because we have, you know, we target 18 to 20 gigawatts, right? Each quarter on average, we are planning, you know, 4 gigawatts to 5 gigawatts. So the inventory levels will be, you know, by nature, the inventory levels will increase and, you know, slightly, you know, quarter by quarter. And the first quarter, the inventory level is relatively higher because last time we discussed, because of China, the supply challenge, and we have 400 megawatts, 500 megawatts, you know, shipped to the second quarter. And throughout the second quarter, given the challenge of international demands, we proactively manage our operation and including control the inventory levels. And we face some order cancellations or delays, but we swiftly, you know, shift our production to particular to the customers or new customers and regions with less impact from the virus. So we in general, I think, you know, the inventory levels will be a very healthy level, and but given our, you know, the target 18 gigawatt, 20 gigawatts, and we are expecting the inventory level will increase a little bit, you know, throughout the next two quarters.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question to the speaker, please press 01 on the telephone keypad. To cancel, please press 02. Our next question is from Carl Liu at CICC. Please go ahead.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. The first, could you please give us some color on the order visibility in the third quarter and the fourth quarter? And so how would we see if we can see further, like if the project which delay or something canceled in the second quarter due to the coronavirus, will it move to the second half or maybe first half in the next year? So how we look at this thing. And the second question is that we are seeing some strong demand in mainland, in China, that's coming from the dual glasses modules and maybe in other way of high efficiency. So could you give us some more color on our maybe the product mix, what we will have in maybe the second quarter? How was our mix coming from the high efficiency modules, and how was from the remaining the normal efficiency modules? Can we have a percentage on that? Thank you.
Okay, so this is Jenner. Thanks for the question. Firstly, about your question about the order visibilities, I think we have built up a very strong order book over three quarters. Order book has been fulfilled, so we are very confident to achieve our target in 2020. I think that's part of the reason why we keep our guidance in 2020 as the 18 to 20 gigawatt as without any change. For the market for the possible market delay, we have seen some region or some countries has showed the tolerance to delay part of the projects into, let's say, two quarters, even three quarters. Especially for some regions like India, was expected to have an installation of over 10 gigawatt in 2020, but with the current lockdown prolong, we believe the market size will be less than 10, even somewhere around 5 to 6. For sure, those projects has not been canceled. A majority of those projects will get delayed into 2021, and that's why I think in our previous speaking, we also show our confidence about the strong demand in 2021. That's also part of our reason why we continue to expand our high efficiency capacity. So your second question about the China demand, especially the double glass demand, we see double glass or dual glass product has a certain, let's say, advantage, especially in some environment. But we do not, personally, I do not see such product become a universal standard or industry standard product yet. When I look into our Q1 book, we see less than 5% of our total shipment is double glass, and which is, let's say, very few number compared with the total shipment. With China demand picking up by the second half, we believe the ratio will be higher. But honestly speaking, I do not believe such product will become, let's say, a standard product in short term. But in long run, with more technology challenges be solved, and I believe such product has a promising future.
Yeah,
hope that
thank
answers
you.
Your question.
Yeah. I have two follow-up questions. The first is that
sure.
If, like, for example, the order from the India is delayed for like 2 or 3 quarters, so will that be renegotiation on our module's price, or will we order this or ship this on a previous setting price? That's my first follow-up question. And the second is that maybe I should rephrase my question. So I would just make an example on the dual glasses modules in China have high demand. But actually, what I want to ask is that we kind of see a kind of structure demand increase in high efficient modules. Maybe in China it is the double glasses. Maybe in the overseas it's like a other kind of product. So we also have like a Swan, right? It's not a double glasses, but it's more lighter. So in general, how will we see in the those high efficiency modules, will we see much more higher demand growth than the normal efficiency modules? So how we see that and the percentage change in the first quarter and maybe second quarter? Yeah.
Thank you for your follow-up question about project sign, contract
yeah.
sign. So I think from what I see, over 95% of a contract signed has been honored, and we both parties respect the contractual obligations, and we continue with the execution of the contract, even we have some pandemic impact on it. And for sure, very few contracts has to be renegotiated or even canceled because of this, we call it force majeure. But we still believe, you know, it's not, you know, because the customer want to arbitrage on the market price change. It's really because of the what is happening for their project and or from their homeland. Your second follow-up question about double glass, we believe the demand in China for the double glass product is increasing. That's very obvious. Sorry to say, I don't have that percentage number on my hand. We can give you some feedback after our call. Right.
Okay. Thanks, manager. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all for today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You can disconnect.